Jonathan Owens and his family, and they're missionaries to Bulgaria. So we're looking forward to that. And then on Wednesday, we're having Junior and Brandy McIntosh, who are missionaries to Belize. So there will be a bus workers meeting after that PM service. Also on Friday, many of you may be signed up for this, but the Oasis is going to the Tennessee Smokies ball game, and the bus is going to leave at 4:30, so don't be late. That'll be, you don't want to miss that. On Saturday, we'll also have the men's golf tournament, and you men, if you play golf, that's good. I couldn't get that ball to go where I wanted it to at all. So looking at that, we're kind of took in this week. I'm not going to say anything about next week. We'll go over that next Sunday morning. Let's talk a little bit about our prayer request and prayer list. We're still remembering Bob Daniels, Judy Whitson, and remember Brother Carl back here. He's going to have surgery here in September. And Pat Skelf, we're still remembering her. Pat Shaw. Randy Skelf, still having some issues too. Let's remember him. And Wanda Huskins, I understand she's not coming back on as quick after that surgery that she had on her leg, knee, or hip. So we're praying for her. Kim Brummett just told us that she's got a date for her surgery, and we're happy to hear that. That's going to be on September the 13th, so let's keep Kim in our prayer and pray that God will do a miracle in that for her. Miss Larkey is under the weather, and we're praying for her. And also there's some others that are normally here that's not, I don't see them this morning, so let's just pray for whatever the reason is they're not at church. I'd like to thank you for being here. And is there any one of you that have a request that you want to signal by an upraised hand? Yes, sir. Okay. Okay, I saw her here this morning. Okay. All right. Miss Nancy? Miss Joyce? Okay. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, your sister-in-law. Okay. All right, let's remember Sheila's sister-in-law. Yes, ma'am, Lois. Okay. All right, let's remember that family. Miss Judy? Okay, that's Judy's sister, 92, right? And she was took back to the hospital. Okay. I also have my sister-in-law, her sister, was rushed to the hospital on Friday night, and they had to move her over to Missions Hospital in Asheville. So she's got some kind of an infection in her back and her hip, and so please pray for her. Her name is Lori Brooks. So anyone else? Judy Whitson, surgery on Wednesday. Okay. Okay. Let's remember her. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day, for your blessings to us. God, we thank you that the goodness that you give to us, Lord, is beyond our words to explain it. And Lord, we just praise your name for who you are. God, we thank you for this Sunday school hour that we have, Lord, to learn more about your word, learn more, dear God, of what you would have our lives to be like. And Lord, we pray that we will be changed by it. We pray that as Pastor Herman comes this morning, that you'll give him unction from heaven. God, you'll help him with what you would have him tell us, Lord. And then in the service to come after that, in the worship service, Lord, we pray you'll be with him during that time. Lord, if there be one here today, Lord, that don't know you, we pray, dear God, that today would be the day that they would come to the knowledge and accept you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving us again. We just ask that you bless all these requests. Dear God, bless the surgeries that's coming up. Lord, just many, many things going on around our countryside. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless those that are having issues, God, and give them help during this time. Thank you again. Bless this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, yes, if you don't mind. Brother Danny's going to pass out a few of these papers. Brother Joe, maybe help out on one side. And it's a handout. You can take that and fill it in if you like, if you enjoy filling in as you go. If not, then no worries either. I want you to look, though, in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 7, and we'll get started in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at a familiar passage, but then go to several different areas to help us be more, I believe, more like the Lord would have us to be. I'm a big believer that we don't just amass information, but spiritually speaking, it ought to do us good. It ought to change us. Why else would you get in the book if the book doesn't get in you and it doesn't change you and make you different? I'd hate to think that I went to church for 10, 20, 30 years, and then the things that I had learned didn't make me different than what I was to begin with. And so it ought to change us. We're going to look at this aspect of judging. Before we get started, though, there's a lot of times when we wrongfully talk about judging, and sometimes say, "Oh, I'm not going to judge." Like when you say that that a way, a lifestyle, an attitude, something is wrong. Well, it's not judging when you look at somebody and you say, or not look at them. You don't necessarily tell them that, but if you say, "Well, a Christian ought to be in church," that's not judging somebody who's not in church at the point. That's just making a statement. The Bible talks about judging righteous judgment. The Bible talks about that we look and see things the way they are. So when you say, "Oh, a Christian," such myself, or you, or anybody else, I've got family members that are saved, but they're not in church right now. It's not judging for me to say that a Christian, well, you should be in church. And so in that regard, nobody has an issue with that. Well, in the same way, it's not judging when you talk about a person, if they're living a lifestyle that is wrong according to the Word of God, maybe they're involved in whatever that's foreign to the Word of God, then it's not wrong for you to say that's not the way a person should live. So can I just start off, and we'll get to it just a minute, in judging, but sometimes we've gone overboard by saying, "Oh, don't judge, don't judge." My dad taught me like this when I was back years ago, when I was a kid. He said, if there's three beer joints or bars down a street, and you see somebody coming off that street, for you to say, "Oh, I know that's where they were." Well, there might have also been an accounting firm down there, or a lawyer that they were getting their real rewritten, or lots of other things. When I see them come out of there, then it's judging for me to say, "Oh, I know that's what they were doing," because you don't know what they were doing. But for me to say that from the Scriptures, it's not a beneficial thing. It's not a thing that a Christian ought to be engaged in. Drinking alcohol. The Bible says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." So that's not a judging statement. That's just the statement that the Bible says this is how you should live. So hopefully that clears us up on some things. But we're looking at Matthew chapter 7 about judging. The Bible says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And if you just take that verse, then some people say, "Oh, see there, you're not allowed to say anything." But again, the Bible talks about judging righteous judgment as well. "For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet or measure it out, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine own eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. And so all of you in here, I think you know that the beam, the mote, that's basically saying I've got this log sticking out of my own eye, and somebody else has got a small little splinter of a sliver, a piece of wood. And so I'm not concerned about my glaring issue, but I am concerned about you, meaning that I've got everything in a mess, everything's in upheaval, nothing is straightened out. And you've got one little thing you've got one little speck on your dress or in your suit there, and I'm going to be concerned about yours, and mine's all wrinkled, and the things don't match, and nothing looks good, and I'm not worried about me at all. I'm worried about you. You've got a little piece of lint right there. That's about the equivalent to this. So let's get started. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us in this word. Help it to benefit us, dear Lord, and I pray that you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here in Matthew chapter 7 this idea of judging not, that you be not judged. And can you notice there as it says, for what measure you mete it out, it'll be measured out to you again, meaning that the way that you say things, it usually comes back around. The word of God would say, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Things come back around. The world would say, what goes around comes around. Well, they got the philosophy from the word of God, because that truly is right. In John chapter 8, this is when the woman is caught in adultery, Jesus says, so when thou continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, this is the council there that want them to stone this woman. He says, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, we all know those stories, but I want to draw a few, about four or five points out of here about being overly critical. There's one thing that plagues many Christians, and probably because we are so disgusted at many things going on in the world, and rightfully so. You watch the news like I do. You watch live, you watch streams and news feeds and different things like that, and you just get appalled. And then you get to so appalled and so upset that if you're not careful, you just throw everything in together and say nothing is fit. And if you're not careful, you'll be overly critical. Can I just challenge you in this, regardless of what age you are, but most of you are the age where you have grandchildren, some great grandchildren. If you're not careful, you'll push them away because of your overcritical attitude. It's just human nature. We all do it. We get so upset about different things, and then those feelings that we have about being upset about this, that, or the other, then they kind of overcome everything. And if we're not careful, we're just a grumpy old cuss that nobody wants to be around. And preachers are the worst at that, because they're looking at the Word of God and they're seeing the wickedness going on in the world, and they're seeing how people are defying God, and they just get consumed. We get consumed with all that, and then if we're not careful, every conversation you have with me, it's something bad here and something bad there and something bad there. And if I'm not careful, I'll forget about the grace of God. I'll forget about the fact that we're not, as I'm preaching in just a little bit, we're not home yet, that we're not supposed to be getting comfortable in this world. If I'm not careful, I'll see all that's going on in this world, and I'll just let it taint everything about me, and I'll just be overly critical. And if we're not careful, we'll push the people who are closest to us away, and so that they say, woof, I just can't take that. And I've got people in my own family that if I'm not careful, I have to be careful, I should say, about being around too much, because everything is bad. Everything, and it is bad. Don't get me wrong. There's enough wickedness to go around. But boy, I'm wanting to pick some of the flowers of God's goodness. I want to pick up some of the flowers of His love and some of the good things He's doing along with those others. So with that being said, I want to get into where we're at today. Number one, if you've got your Bibles, you can look at Acts chapter 15. We'll get a little Bible study, go back and forth to a few different folks, the book of Acts. It gives the picture here that there was a sharp contrast between two of God's servants. Two of them that wanted to do right, but they could not get on the same page. In Acts chapter 15, we're going to look at Paul and John Mark. In verse number 39 of Acts 15, we're looking here. There's a contention over John Mark. John Mark was a helper. We all know who the Apostle Paul was, a great missionary, great used of God, greatly used of God man. But there was this man, John Mark, who was going to be a helper to him, but Paul got frustrated with him. And verse number 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But look at verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take them with him, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. The contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder and one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark, that was the guy that Paul didn't like, and sailed into Cyprus. Verse number 40, and Paul chose Silas. Now we all know the little song, Paul and Silas in the sailboat. We all know the story of Paul and Silas, but God had it worked out that he was supposed to be with John Mark, but instead Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. So we see here, even great men, the Apostle Paul, he gets fed up with this kid. I'm just tired of him. He let me down. And what's that saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, that sounds good, but I don't know that's too biblical, because we are supposed to be helping other people come along. And so I'm giving you this first one. If you're filling in the blanks, don't be so hard on other people. We see here that it all comes back around, because the Apostle Paul, he teaches us our own lesson. If you look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to, or I'll just read it to you as well. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, remember that Paul said, don't bring John Mark. We ain't going to go with him. He let us down. He was away from where he should have been. I ain't going to have it. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, we see Paul come all the way back around, and it runs full circle. And he's telling Timothy now that he's getting to he's talking about his situation in prison. He's getting ready to close this second epistle to Timothy, the young preacher boy. And verse number 11 of 2 Timothy 4, it says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. Which Mark? John Mark, same one that he didn't want to bring with him before. Take Mark and bring him with thee. And look at the next phrase if you're there. For he is profitable to me for the ministry. So the Apostle Paul teaches us by his actions that he probably shouldn't have been so bullheaded. Sometimes we worry about saying anything negative against God's characters in the Bible, but the Bible is the book that God shows that he doesn't have to sugarcoat, candy coat anything, because you look at the greatest characters and God shows their flaws just like he shows their strengths. David, he looked on a woman to lust and then got her over there and committed adultery, killed Uriah. Moses got mad. We see the things that happened to the Bible characters. Well, Paul was no exception. So he finds himself teaching them the lesson. Say, bring John Mark with you. He's profitable. Now, how many of you understand it would have been better if he hadn't been so bullheaded the first time? But before we get too hard on Paul, he's not the last one that's bullheaded, because some of us are as well. And so I understand here, don't be so hard on other people. I went through McDonald's some time ago, and I'd gotten a $2 bill. But you know, it's not like they're that rare or anything. But I'd gotten a $2 bill, and I was going to pay with that, plus whatever else is for my whatever I was getting. And this teenager, this little girl that was at the drive-thru, she looked at that, and she about handed it back to me, did hand it back to me, actually, and she just laughed. As if I just handed her some Monopoly money or something from a play set somewhere. And she just said, and then I didn't take it. She handed it back, but I didn't take it. And then she said, you can't use that. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, no, you can use it. It's legal tender for all debts, public, private. That's what they say on the back, you know. And she said, oh, no, you can't use that. And I said, yeah. And then she said, well, I'm going to get my manager. And the manager came up, and he didn't berate her or anything. He said, oh, no, you can use that. That's regular money. And I figured that I just rolled with it. You know, you have this thing well up inside you. Didn't they at least teach you that before you start working here, of what money you can take and all that? But we just need to be nice. Somebody said it like this. You learned many of your good lessons in your first year or two of elementary school. And what was that? Be nice. Be kind to everybody. And if you're not careful, if I'm not careful, I will neglect the one of the most basic needs of a Christian to the outside world, and that's just to be kind. Be kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You say, that's too simple. But I can tell you this, your grandchildren, your neighbor kids, whoever they are, they'd a whole lot more likely come to around to your way of thinking, your Bible way of thinking, if you were a kind individual who was nice. And so we see that we shouldn't be overly critical to somebody. I was thinking about this, the little girl that was said, oh, you can't use that here. I just stayed calm. I said, well, she's going to figure it out in a little bit. And then I asked myself as I was driving away, am I that patient with my family? Because sometimes we're patient with people outside the home, but we're not patient with people inside the home. So don't be so hard on other people. Number two, this doesn't have a Bible reference, but it's just a good practical point that I wanted to put in here when I made up the lesson. Don't judge people in the last act without considering all that they've done. Sometimes we're so quick to really barrel down on somebody for one thing that they did, forgetting that they've done so many other kind things to us, that we should give them a little bit of grace. I remember the first bank or first savings account, it was a bank account, but the first savings account I opened up at the Bank of Ripley in Ripley, West Virginia. And so when you opened up this account, they gave you a little checkbook or a little savings book. And so it was about that big. It opened up that way and it had a place in there where you put the date, you put the amount that you're putting in your savings account and probably getting like 0.00001. Maybe back then it was getting 0.0002% interest in, you know, savings account, don't get much. But I thought it was big stuff. And so it had a place you put your date, your amount, and then the teller that was there, they initialed it. Well, I thought this was like a legal document. I thought, well, I've got to keep up with this. I may take this. I didn't even have a safe deposit box, but I need to put this in a safe at home. I didn't have that either. But I need to keep this protected. I need to keep this. I thought it was like a legal document that the government was going to come after one of these days so I could get all my millions out of there. But I found out that all that was really just for my benefit, because they're not going to take your word look at this book. It says I put $2,000 in there. They're not going to take that. They're relying on their records, not yours. But that's beside the point. But I start this savings account. And this savings account is what you have oftentimes for a rainy day fund. When things aren't going good, I get out of what I put in when things were going great, when I was getting a little extra money, or I put in a rainy day fund. Sometimes we call it an emergency fund, contingency fund, whatever, the barn roof flew off fund. I don't care what you call it, but we all know what it is. It's some money stored back, and sometimes some people in my family would call it cattle money. You just put some money in your wallet. That way, if you found a good cow somewhere, then you'd be able to, you'd have $1,000 or something in there to get what is. But it's there for when you need it. Now, let me come back to our relationships with people. Don't you think that your spouse, your grandchildren, your neighbors, whoever it is, wouldn't it be a shame if I was just snippety quick with them on what they said to me today, forgetting all of the deposits they've had in the bank account of our relationship? If Amy, right now, you know, I told you she's down her back, and so she's not able to do much around the house, and it's kind of because she lays on the couch and tries to get comfortable, and wouldn't it be a shame for me to say, you're not doing much around here? Well, I've only been with her for 30 years, married to her, and she runs and takes care of all of those things all the time. And so I'd be a pretty heartless individual to say, boy, you're not keeping up with things around here very good. There's enough change, there's enough deposits in that bank between her and I that she could go for a long time, and I shouldn't care about it. I think about like a pastor. I hope there's sometimes that this pastor friend of mine who I used to work for in Iowa, he said, John, sometimes you just walk out of the pulpit and you realize I just laid an egg you could have hatched twin dinosaurs out of, meaning the sermon wasn't that good. And he says, sometimes you don't want to talk to people, you don't want to see anybody, you just want to go to your office, shut the door, because it just didn't seem like it was happening today. Well, in the pastor's realm, and him, that fella, he started the church in 1973. He pastored it for 30-some years. And what I would say to him was, people, they have such respect for you. If you did preach 4 dud sermons in a row, there's enough money in that deposit of your relationship, they're not even going to care. And we see it from that. We see it from a bank account. Well, what about the relationships that you have? I would just challenge you not to be, don't judge people on their last act, the last thing they did, without considering all the good that they've done in their relationship with you. Now, let me give you take this next one. If you've still got your Bible open, look at Galatians chapter 6. This is probably one of my favorite verses, but it's also probably one of the most convicting verses because we don't do it. Verse number 2, I quote verse 2 of chapter 6 a lot. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I believe that's the command for us as Christian brothers and sisters to bear one another's burdens. But it starts off in verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Can I remind you that we ought to allow people to have a fresh start when they blow it? Meaning that if somebody was unkind to you, and here's what happens. Somebody is, they're off their game today. Man, they're just a, well, they're a bear. They're a pickle. They're a pistol. They're whatever description you want to put in there. Man, they're grumpy. Man, they're this. Man, they're that. Man, they're this. Well, how many of you have not had those kind of days? Well, all of us have. Like I read at the beginning, let him that's without sin cast the first stone. So we know it all happens to us. But do you know what I find? I find that we often judge ourselves on our intentions. We judge other people on their actions. Meaning this, they say, oh, I didn't mean anything by that. We give ourselves a little break. I judge myself by my intentions. Oh, I just spouting off the mouth. You know, I was in a bad mood. I didn't get enough sleep last night. I'm Irish. I'm redheaded. Whatever it is. You know, just give whatever excuse you want there. Oh, you know, I didn't mean anything by that. But we don't give the other people that same benefit of the doubt. We judge ourselves by our intentions. We judge other people by their actions. Happens with church work as well. We can think, I've not caught people. I don't catch them up in this. I don't mean it like that. But people have talked to me and said, oh, yeah, I come to Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, whatever it is, the Bible study, something. And then you look back, and what they should have said was, well, I've been meaning to be faithful. There's just been stuff that's come up different Sundays. I think that there's people that they come, and they mean to come every Sunday morning here at church. They mean to come every Sunday, every week. But then if you truly look back on their past, the true record, you'd see they've hit about 1, 2, 3 Sundays a month or something like that. But they meant to every Sunday. But then when you're describing somebody else, you don't go by what they meant to do. You go by what they did. And so that's where I'm speaking about a little bit today, that we should give people a place to have a fresh start. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Let me give you this illustration. Our kids, I've got three, you know. We got Jared, he's our firstborn. We got Mads, our redhead. And then we call her Southern Baptist, the one that was born in a Baptist hospital in Nashville. And so sometimes, like all kids, they get mad at one another. Well, and obviously, none of them killed each other, so they got over it eventually. So one would come back and apologize. Jared would say he's sorry, or Maddie, whichever one, say he's sorry. Well, here's what I noticed. Not the one that did wrong, but the one that got offended, the one that had wrong done against them. Do you know that it was oftentimes harder for that one that got offended, the one that got mistreated, got maligned, whatever it was often harder for that one that got mistreated to get over it than it was the one that did the offending. And oftentimes, Jared, let's say for this instance, Jared would say, I'm sorry to Maddie about whatever he did. And then Maddie would just pout around and kind of bull around or whatever you call it, you know, just be huffy, you know what I mean, whatever phrase you use, just be huffy about whatever he did that he already apologized for, but she wasn't ready to overcome it yet. She wasn't ready to move on. She wasn't ready to give him a fresh start. And sometimes I'd have to tell whichever child it was that was huffy. I'd say, listen, your brother, your sister, whichever it was, they've already said they're sorry. Short of giving a pint of blood for when you need it, they can't do anything else. And do you know that some of us hold grudges so well that we should be awarded a prize for how good we do it? And we've had people that have already apologized. They already said, I'm sorry, I was such a jerk. I'm sorry, I was so hot-headed. I'm sorry, I spouted off when I shouldn't have. I'm sorry I did. Well, we ought to be willing to give people a fresh start when they've blown it. Otherwise, We're just holding on to something that is only hurting us. They've already needed to go forward. You say, well, what if they haven't apologized? Well, for our benefit, we ought to let it go anyways. And because the Bible says, if a man which is overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual. Like every situation in the Bible, God puts more weight on the people who are walking with him than he does the people who aren't walking with him. You got one that's mad and sideways, and their hair, there's a bad hair day. This didn't go right. They got a headache. They got a footache. They got everything wrong. And then you got one that's everything's going well. He read his Bible. He prayed. She prayed. She got it right. Everything's good. I'm living for the Lord. All things are where they should be. Which one should be the happier one? But then I've seen again in my own life that you are trying to live for the Lord. You're trying to do right. But then you get sideways when that person does something wrong to you. And then there's no place to start over with that person. Oh yeah, you'll get over it tomorrow, get over it later, but I'm gonna wallow in my anger for a little bit. I don't want you to raise your hand because I don't want you to embarrass yourself, but I'll raise mine. I know that I'm that way oftentimes. They did me wrong. They did whatever, and I don't mean did me wrong as in they cheated you out of $10,000. I mean they did you wrong as in they didn't talk to me on the way across the parking lot. They snubbed me. They didn't show up when they were supposed to, whatever. Well, after we know it, after it comes to our attention, then we ought to allow them to have a fresh start when they blow it. Number four, I don't know if I put a blank in that one or not. We're going to end up on the Bible on the last one, but this one, again, is just a practical little help about being overly critical. Remember, whoever you're dealing with, their circumstances affect their mood just like your circumstances affect your mood. So things are going wrong in them, give them a break. Well, they shouldn't need a break because they should just be able to handle it. I know they should, but let's give them a break. We had a sweet tea, or well, it turned out to be a sweet tea maker for us. I guess it could make it either way. But we had a tea maker. And so this tea maker, you put the ice in this jug, you put the tea bags in the back, you filled it up with water, and then it just brewed. You know, it went over it, it spewed it out over top of the tea bags, then it drizzled in there, and it was hot by this point, then melted your sugar, so you had sweet tea. Well, I put it together. I thought I put it together right. I certainly put the water in the back. I know, remember that, because it started coming out all over the counter, and I had the ice, had the sugar on there, and so this thing starts, it just, you know, like a brewer, and so it just spews that freshly brewed tea over the top, and then it comes down through there, and then it goes into this gallon ice jug. And so I put it all in, got it started. We were on a kick for a while there, and our daughter, she's the youngest one, she still loves tea, and so I've tried to quit drinking as much. And so I've set it all up, left, went back in the living room, do something else, and came back in, and usually it should have been full by then. Well, I looked at the gallon, it was just still the ice. Nothing was in there except the ice and sugar. Well, it should have been full with brown tea by this point. And so then I happened to also notice that there was tea all over the counter, and then I'm standing up there trying to figure it out. And you know how one of those situations where your brain is saying something's not right, but your hands just won't start working? You know, it's like, you're like in delayed motion, like, something's not right here. Well, there's tea coming down on my feet, and I knew that that wasn't right, and I knew that this jug should be getting full by now, and I knew there wasn't supposed to be this brown haze over all the countertop. It's like, something is not right. And then finally it kicked into gear. It's like, okay, it's kind of squeegee that off into the sink and get it whopped up and all that. About that time, Amy comes in. She says, something wrong? I was like, no, I'm just putting tea all over the floor, you know? No, nothing's wrong. I just thought I'd give the tea bath to the whole floor here in the kitchen. Of course something's wrong. And so my circumstances affected my mood greatly. But again, we judge ourselves based on our intentions. We judge them based on their actions. So I said, well, you know, I was just in a bad mood because all that was happening. I expected her to have leniency with me, but I don't always have it with other people. So remember that their mood is affected by their circumstance. And then the last one is this. We used to be in Matthew, but in Matthew chapter 7, let me find my place, in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 3, the Bible says this, and why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? The last thing I can tell us about remembering to not be overly critical is, remember that you fail too. The next time you're ready to let somebody have it, just remember you mess up an awful lot. And Bob Kelly used to pastor the Franklin Road Baptist Church. He's a great man of God. He's in heaven now. But he would often say, as other preachers have, he says, every time I point to you, I've got more fingers pointing back at me than I've got pointing at you. And that's true in our lives as well. If those people that were being a little unkind to, being a little short with, only knew how many times we fall short. Let's face it, we're oftentimes a mess. And if you had gotten caught for everything you did, you'd be in a heap of trouble. Some would be in jail. And so we ought to remember, we ought to realize that there's no sense in one person who's a mess, that's me, getting so mad at somebody else who's a mess, that's you, over sometimes the things you did are no worse than what I did. You say, Pastor, we're not supposed to condone sin. We're not supposed to let all these things go. I'm not talking about condoning sin. Remember who said that he'd keep the books. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. He doesn't need us to be his retribution agents. And if we're not careful, we get so overly critical. And I pray the Lord will let us be the light, the salt that we're supposed to be. Keep that right stand. Some persons put it like this. We should have the right position on everything. On what the Word of God says. The right position on fill in the blank. Human sexuality. The right position on things, whatever. The right position. But here's what we also should have. The right disposition. Sometimes we get that position down good. You're right as rain. But you're also mean as the devil. Not you, but us. Could be us. Could be the guess of the shoe fits. All, but we get that position right. But sometimes our disposition, it gets pretty bad. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Help us not to be so overly critical that we end up being not ill-effective. We end up being of no use to anybody because we don't have a testimony with them except a bad one. We don't have any inroad with them. We don't have any way to ultimately get them the gospel. Lord, help us in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you. You're dismissed.